Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I am Marco Cerritos, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. We have a new special guest here today for the Fat Guys at the Movies cavalcade of internet bloggers. I'd like to introduce you to Marco Cerritos. Tell us a little bit about yourself first before we go into the contact information, because you're new to the show, although you've listened in the past, haven't you?
Right. I'm a listener to the show, and obviously I enjoy the show. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
I'm a freelance film critic, so like a lot of people, I do a lot of film reviews and interviews, but make very little money doing it. So I do a lot of freelance writing for whatever will have me, whatever site or magazine, newspaper will have me. I pretty much cover everything. I cover film reviews, film interviews. I'm on my way to Toronto in a couple of weeks, so I'm very looking forward to that.
Oh, and awesome.
Yeah, so we'll see what kind of good movies they show us in a couple of weeks.
I hear they have a film festival up there.
I hear they do too, but I was just going to go and hang out. I don't even know they were going to show movies until you just mentioned it. But
you're going to go there for the nightclub scene.
Yes.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more to Marco about what he does and sort of his sordid career history and all that good stuff. We should unionize. We really should. We should unionize film critics so we can demand nothing. You know? Because we have no power. We'll just, I mean, like, we're not going to stop doing reviews. We're never going to go to the movies anymore. That would be the most insignificant union ever.
We would just make less money than we do now.
Yeah, we're going to strike. And strike, you'll pay us nothing. We want to pay nothing but a little bit of respect.
And that's about it.
And that's all we want. Anyways, to get a hold of us, you can catch us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also reach us on iTunes. Just go and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can search Fat Guys Network and get all of our shows that are on the site. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM. And please leave us, please like us, because like I said, and I've said this before, we're narcissists. So we just want people to like us. We're sort of like that. We're sort of like, we have the mentality of a stripper, where we just want that affection. Just throw the dollar bills at us and that kind of thing. but we won't kiss on the mouth. Then there's also, you can email us at fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us what you think. We'll play it on the air. And that's about it. Oh, if you go to iTunes, write us a review. Because, again, we're narcissists. And we just... Your love keeps us alive. Did that sound too cheesy?
Maybe a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Marco,
yes.
You said you're a freelance film critic. Who have you written for? Who do you write for? What special things? How long have you been doing this?
Oh, geez. That's, it'll be 14 years in October.
Oh, my gosh. So, that's longer than me. That's sad.
Well, I feel pretty old doing it, but I just, not to sound too cheesy, but I love doing it, so that's why I'm still here.
So you have to be at least in your 30s.
Maybe. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I guess, no, I am in my 30s, early 30s, I'll say. Okay. But I started doing this at...
early meaning 1 to 9?
30, yeah, maybe 30, 31-ish. Mm-hmm. So okay. The other thing is that I have a birthday coming up, so that definitely makes me feel old.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, I know. A birthday and a film critic anniversary to boot. But
when's your birthday?
The 20th of September.
Oh, wow.
And
that's the day before Stephen King's birthday. Did you know that?
Is it really? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, can't wait.
And it's 9
this.
Days after my birthday.
Is it really? All right, awesome. Yeah. So Virgo film critics are the coolest around, is what you're saying.
That's right. Of course, my birthday is September 11th. Did you know that?
I did not, and I'm
my
sorry
birthday
to hear
is
that.
September. Well, it's one of those things that I... People are like, what are you going to do on your birthday? I'm like, stay at home and not tell anybody about it.
Basically.
Because it's the 10th year of 9-11, 10th year anniversary
yep,
of 9/11.
This year, you're
so
right.
What am I going to do? Like, put a big celebration sign on my front lawn and say, woohoo, happy day. I mean, what do you do at that point? I mean, I just got the... It took like literally 5 years for people to not... Like, tell me I'm like if I go to the bank and they need to see my ID and they look at my birthday. It took 5 years for somebody to just say, oh, happy birthday when it was my birthday, as opposed to, oh, that's too bad. I'm like, I did not get the worst of it, I guess you could say. So,
yeah, you just kind of look at them and say, yes, I know, and just completely move on.
I mean, what a jerk would I be to sit there and be like, oh my God, you just ruined my birthday. 3,000 people died, and my birthday got ruined. I mean, how much of an ass would I be to do that?
I'd actually like to see you do that and see what happens.
I should. I should come out. I should go on the news channels and just start complaining about it on 9/11. We'll see how long that lasts.
Awesome.
Anyways, so who are you writing for right now?
Right now, I am alternating between a couple of different places. I've got an examiner.com page where I just put a lot of my recent stuff, whether they're film, they're mostly film reviews or celebrity interviews. And
celebrity interviews, you mean like real celebrities? You're not like interviewing Kim Kardashian,
right? No. Not the fake celebrity interviews. Not the TMZ style interviews, but actual interviews.
I don't even know what I would ask. I could not actually interview Kim Kardashian with a straight face.
See, I don't even want to think about doing that kind of journalism. You know, it's just like, you're right. What would you ask a Kim Kardashian, and what would you even bring up besides, you know, the obvious, the sex tape, the clothing line, or whatever she's
is
there.
Is your butt real?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, I don't care if her butt's real. So
but
I just
nice. It's nice. I'll go out there and say I'm a fan of it, but. You know, I'm a fan of Twinkies, but that doesn't mean I want to interview Twinkies. Examiner.com. You're going to Toronto, so that stuff will be be available on TMZ.com.
That might be for TMZ. if I can negotiate getting like X-rated shots of Kim Kardashian or other big name celebrities, but they won't take legitimate reviews or interviews. I can't say who I'm writing Toronto for because I don't know. I'm negotiating that right now. I should know within the next couple of days. So I'm sure like in a few weeks after this is aired, if you Google my name in Toronto 2011, you'll be able to find my stuff.
Just make sure you don't Google his name Toronto 2004 because no one wants to speak of that ever.
Yeah, seriously.
That was a dangerous incident. The Mounties were involved. Let's just say
jeez.
Well, let's get to their first review, which isn't really a review. It's a preview. So that's why we're just running out the clock here. We have Columbiana, in which Zoe Saldana kills some people and stuff. Blam.
Yeah, stuff goes boom. Right.
There's 22 murders in the last 4 years.
I'm doing this my way.
Talk to me.
What do you want to know?
Anything. Something about you.
I was nine when my parents were killed. I will not stop until you feel what I felt all these years. And now I'm going to finish it.
Never forget where you came from.
We have a minute left. Do you care to see this? Are you at all interested in seeing this movie? Or would you rather watch Kim Kardashian's sex tape?
No, I've seen the sex tape. I don't need to see it again.
It's not that good.
I do want to see Columbiana. I know it looks cheesy. It looks as silly as you'd expect it to be, but I think it's going to look good in a very trashy way. And I like
Zoe Saldana looking good in a very trashy way.
Sure. You know, basically it's her running around in tight clothes and shooting big guns, which is cool with me. But
you know what? The trailers make me feel like it's going to be basically that fight scene in the bathroom of The Losers made into a movie.
Hmm. So. It's another Luc Besson production, and his movies are pretty slick and hollow. So that's exactly what I'm expecting.
it's like a gourd that's been that you buy at a farmer's market.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we gotta go to a break. This one gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us.
Right. And, no one's getting in, as far as I know.
When we come back, more movies. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Like I said, Columbiana gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it. They are actually having screenings for this, but press is not invited, which is even worse than just them not having a screening for. You know, like Spy Kids last week, they didn't have any. Nobody got screenings for it. Even I know people out in L.A., nobody got screenings for that.
Oh, for good reason.
Oh, yeah, because it's terrible. Oh, man, it's such a bad movie. I took my kids, and it was so bad. It literally smells like a fart.
Yeah.
There are very few movies that I can say that about, but that movie stinks because it has that odorama.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember they're pitching it with that.
Did you try to go see that at all, or did you just...
No, I mean, there are very few movies that I just completely don't make any kind of effort to see, and that was one of them.
Yeah, it was so bad.
But did your kids like it at least?
Oh, the kids loved it, but they like Smurfs too. You know, they like Dougal. I mean, these are, you know, kids. When they're kids, they're not. You don't. They're not known for their discerning taste. But they had the Odorama. They had the scratch and sniff thing, and the problem is the scratch and sniff thing didn't work very well.
Mm.
So like maybe only about two or three of them actually smelled, and there was like one that was like a mint. I think it was in the scene where there's candy and he's eating candy and it's a mint flavor, so it's like already strong smelling anyway. So you smell that, and then there's one where the dog farts.
Oh, and sniff it. Like fart.
Oh, it smells like a fart.
Hmm.
That's my review of the movie. I'm just like scratch number seven. That's my review of the movie.
Right.
It was so bad. they didn't screen actually. They didn't screen any of the movies that are coming out this week in Columbus, Ohio, which isn't where I'm from. But since Marco is from the teeming metropolis of San Francisco, is that how you pronounce it? I've not heard of this town before.
Well, I guess so. I haven't heard it pronounced any other way. San Francisco, maybe?
I'm kidding. Yeah, I've heard of San Francisco before. Yeah. I'm not totally stupid. You have to say that nowadays because people will be like, you've never heard of San Francisco?
Yeah, people take you seriously over the most mundane jokes. So, yeah,
like, haven't you seen Subspecies?
No.
That was filmed in San Francisco, or at least it took place in San Francisco.
Yeah. It's a lot of it. Like Rise of the Planet of the Apes takes place in San Francisco, but was filmed in Canada.
Yeah. Was it you who made some comment about the geography was just... just made no sense?
Probably. I'm sure I was one of many, but yeah, I mentioned it on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, because Mel Valentin, who's one of the guests on the show who does the live tweeting with us, he's also from San Francisco. And he always sort of has an affinity for any movie that's shot in San Francisco, like the 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
See, I live in Columbus, so unless you really, really love Teachers or Traffic or... you know, like the old Family Ties TV show, which was set in Columbus, but didn't actually take place in Columbus. I mean, it's just, there's not a whole lot of options out there. But I was in Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed in Mansfield, about an hour from here. So there. But you got to see these movies.
Right.
You got to see, let's talk about the first one, Our Idiot Brother.
Oh,
in
yes.
Which Paul Rudd plays a free-spirited hippie brother to three hot ladies of Hollywood.
That's right.
They let me go early. Good behavior.
Ned just showed up.
I can't just kick him out. He's family.
Check it out.
Well, I gotta get back to work on the tumyun.
What?
Tumyun. It's a cross-pollination between a tomato and onion. Well, think of the time it'll save when you're making spaghetti sauce.
I love my brother, but he doesn't live in the adult world.
What's wrong with you?
You know, I try and do good. It doesn't always work out.
What did you think of this?
The movie is innocuous but fun. It's a very lighthearted okay. comedy that has its heart in the right place, but it doesn't really transcend the genre in any way. It's just it's a very fun middle of the road movie with, again, Paul Rudd playing a very free spirited idiot who comes back home after a brief stint in jail for, again, being an idiot, and continues to like. Wreck havoc on it. I think it's three. Yeah, you're right. Three younger sisters.
It's Zooey Deschanel.
Right.
Who Fozzie Bear's boyfriend pointed out. He calls her Potato Face because she's had such huge eyes and a big head.
But they're such lovely eyes.
She's way prettier than a potato. But he's gay anyway, so I don't really care. I mean, I'm like, that's fine. You know, so more for me. But I'm married.
Yeah, more. Well, she's got a ton of eyes, so I'm sure it's more.
She's got lots of eyes all over her face. And then is it Elizabeth Banks? And who's the third one?
Emily Mortimer.
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah.
So she's got a small head, though.
It's funny how we both stopped. It's like, yeah, she's cute, but she's Zooey. Cute.
Yeah, well. I was just watching, speaking of Zooey Deschanel, I was watching the special features on Your Highness.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
you like to hear Zooey Deschanel like talk... dirty, you should watch those. Both Zooey Deschanel and Natalie Portman talking dirty through the special features.
On purpose, then, or is it just kind of like a, you know?
No,
like
it's the scripted stuff, but then they giggle, okay. Then they laugh at the lines.
Oh, okay, cool. So. I'm obviously in the majority on that movie. I wasn't a fan. Did you like it?
No, I thought it was terrible, but okay. I do have a little bit of a, I do like the fact that Zooey Deschanel and I said this about Natalie Portman. She probably looks better in that movie than in any other film she's ever done in
really?
The history of time. She looks great in that movie.
Well, she looks good in a lot of her movies, except when she's purposely made out to be ugly-ish.
Or like a little boy in Mr. Megorium's Wunderbar Emporium.
Oh, touche. Yeah, that's true. Because I was thinking of like Natalie Portman in like Closer, where she plays a stripper.
Oh, she looked great in Closer. I hated that movie, though.
I mean, I know. I'm part of the crew that actually loves it, but I know a lot
of people. Go ahead, defend it. Try to get away with that. Was already a brother any better than that, though?
Than Closer? No. But no. Then again, I love Closer.
Okay.
Already a Brother, I mean, I would recommend it. It's a very middle-of-the-road comedy, and it's fun, but it's, you know, if you really wanted something else to see this weekend, I would say go see Fright Night, which obviously is a very different movie, but...
Slightly different.
There's a couple more vampires. Oh man,
it's getting
pummeled at the box office, and I like it so much. I just feel compelled. It's just like if someone wants to go see something, go see Fright Night. Support it.
Yeah.
You won't make a dent, you know, with the $10, but you'll see a much better movie. Because I mean, our choices are this weekend. What is our already Brother Colombiana, which admittedly looks like, but it could be something. Well, no, it looks like.
Okay.
And then
we're still on the radio for these, so I have to bleep those out.
Oh, that's right. Ah. Oh, it looks like crap.
It looks like poopy.
Yeah, it looks like the bad stuff. Okay.
Here's a question on R.E.D. Brother looks to me like, in sort of aesthetic wise, it looks like something like Cyrus or Greenberg, where it takes place in L.A. and it's just trying to show the everyday person's life in LA. Does that have any sort of bearing at all? I'm getting from it.
It's interesting. It doesn't, it's more whimsical than that, I think.
Okay.
And, Cyrus, you know, I like Cyrus Greenberg. I've slowly come around to in the last couple of weeks cause they've been playing it nonstop on HBO. Okay. Oops.
Wow.
I know.
Let me mark these down. Listen to segment two. Bleep it out for the radio.
My friends listening to this will be like, that sounds like Marco. Yes. An F-bomb,
you know what's
going to
be great is like the next segment, which is like on the internet only. You're going to like not swear at all.
Probably, yeah. That's a segment where I just will keep my mouth shut and learn my lesson. But for now, yeah, F-bombs away. Great. No, I really hated Greenberg the first time I saw it. And then, like I said, the last couple of weeks, HBO's been playing it nonstop. So I rediscovered it. And, you know, I'm a fan now. I think...
I'm not even saying for sort of like that mumblecore comedy sort of angle or anything like that.
Sure.
But just sort of the... I mean, I don't live in L.A. I live in Ohio. But I've been to L.A. and I've hung out with people in L.A. And those felt very L.A.-ish to me. What's the other one with the kids are all right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also
yeah.
Felt that way where you're like, oh, and you're dry. And you just... of course, everything's shot in L.A. or Vancouver.
Right.
But you watch it and you're like, this just feels like... some people threw together in L.A. I mean, in independent movies like The Freebie are like that too. Because
yeah, it's got a very like L.A. vibe to it, where you know certain movies have a very New York vibe, and some movies have no vibe, and those are the ones that were shot in New Mexico.
So, would you say on the rating of Our Idiot Brother, would you say rocks or sucks or kind of rocks, kind of sucks? Those are your four choices.
Kind of rocks. You know, it's not a full fledged recommendation, but you know, you could do a lot worse.
Okay. You do a lot worse. You could see Spy Kids.
Exactly. You could go see Spy Kids, or you could go see One Day.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah, it was.
I hated that movie. Okay, I'm gonna just, since we're right at the end of the segment, I'm gonna say here's a little spoiler alert. So if you want to see One Day, don't listen to the next like 15 seconds.
But why would you want to see it?
When I was halfway through the movie, I said to myself, "There's few movies that I see that I wish somebody would be hit by a truck."
Huh.
And then the end, or the almost ending, happens, and I'm like, I'm still not feeling better.
Yeah.
Anyways, on that note, we're going to talk about Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. We're going to play out on the trailer in this movie. Evil creatures live in the walls of a house and haunt a family.
You're sitting there in the dark. But don't.
Thank you. 32 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies in the infamous middle segment where you actually can swear.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's nothing compared to what you dropped in the last segment.
That's true.
On Wyoming radio. We're still going to get kicked off the air. We're not even supposed to say boobs on Wyoming radio.
What? What the fuck is that?
I don't know what that's all about. We're allowed to say breasts.
Okay.
But yeah, you know what's funny, though? You can turn on the news and they'll be like, rapes and murders. You're like, rape, rape, rape. I used to do TV in a local TV station. Mm-hmm. And they always are worried about what you're going to say on TV because they don't want somebody to get pissed off because it was a morning show. A live morning show. Yeah, yeah, and they don't want you. And like, actually, one time when I reviewed The Dilemma, I said Vince Vaughn did his Vince Vaughn shtick, and they thought the floor crew thought I said shit, and I go, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
and I went home and I'm like looking at it because I'm like, oh my god, but it was hysterical. So like oh, and I brought my kids in once to do it, and they're like, rape, rape, rape. There's been rapes all over. It's rapey, rapey, rapey town. And I'm just like, oh my god. You can say rape 900 times, and you can show like victims' faces, and you can talk about people going, oh, it's terrible. We need to keep people safe because of the rapey, rapey, rapes. And right. And I don't want my kids hearing that.
What was the there was a filmmaker who had a famous quote a couple years back where he said something like, you know, when it comes to filmmaking, or I guess anything now, but you can cut off a boob, but you can't kiss it.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it makes sense, but it's like backwards thinking to me.
Yeah, I prefer cutting them off and then kissing them.
Oh, shit.
That just offends everybody.
Almost as bad as my swearing, but maybe.
Well, trust me, I've heard a lot worse swearing in my life.
On this podcast?
Well, by myself when I drive. Okay. So, you know what's funny? That was my kid once said. Somehow we got to this. There was a subject of a swear word that was said, and somebody asked him, what was that word? And he goes, That's a word that my dad says when he drives.
Yeah, when he's angry, that's the secret word my daddy says in the car. Oh,
yeah, because I lay the smack down on people when I yell at them out the window. I once chased a guy down in my car.
For doing what?
I was coming to this road. I was coming to an intersection, and I was getting ready to... I was going straight, and he was going to turn left, and we're facing each other. And he starts to turn left, and I hadn't slammed on my brakes. I would have hit him head on, and it would have been his fault because I had a green light.
Yep.
And I'm like, and I blast my horn, and I kind of do the gestures of what's going on, and he flips me off. And you want to piss me off is like do something wrong and have it be completely your fault and then blame me.
Right.
And so I'm in a minivan, which is not terribly threatening, but I did this U-ey, and I start chasing him down the road. And he was this like sort of like this sort of this white bread suburban kid who looked like he was going to college who thought he was like edgy,
right.
But really isn't. He like had like soccer, like a soccer bumper sticker, which you can start some serious shit with soccer fans in like the UK,
not here, not in
Columbus, Ohio. Trust me. And so I'm chasing him down, and he's with his girlfriend, and you can tell, I'm sure his girlfriend was like, oh my God, here he comes. Yeah. And I start almost, I didn't run him off the road, but I kind of edged him, and I start yelling out the window. I'm like, wah, rah, rah. And I look really scary when I'm mad because I got the shaved head and the beard. And so he apologized. He's like, I'm sorry. And then I just drove away. So I scared him. But of course, I made sure that he wasn't like if he was like, you know, Gangsta City, I wouldn't have done that. I would just let him drive away.
Not in front of your kids either.
No, my kids weren't with me.
Oh, okay.
I don't chase people down with my... I know I did once. I have a little bit of road rage. I should probably admit that. I should probably delete that out.
Yeah.
That's more offensive than bleeping. anywho, we were talking about, during the break, not about Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, but about risque sex terms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like space docking, brown trombones.
Sure, sure.
And
other naughty stuff.
Naughty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, you don't have anything else to say about that?
About brown trombones? Nah, well, not really.
Do you?
I live in San Francisco, so I guess
I
could.
But space docking, sure, I could talk for an hour on that. Anywho, should we talk about this movie?
If we have to, sure.
Okay. Well, did you like this movie? You sound really kind of sour.
That's a good segue into this. I did like it. Don't be afraid of the dark. It's a solid flick. It's very suspenseful. I mean, my palms are definitely sweaty throughout the screening. It's, I hate doing the whole setup thing, but I guess the log line is...
There's no spoilers. That's the only
thing. Yeah, I was trying to... That's what I'm trying to do. It's like, I'm trying to think, how to describe this movie without spoiling...
There are creatures haunting people in a house, isn't there?
I guess so. Yeah. There's a little bit more to it, but yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. There's creatures haunting a very abandoned house. Family moves in. Creepy shit starts to happen. And it's extremely tense for about the first two-thirds. Katie Holmes is in it. She's very innocuous, doesn't offend or, you know, kind of creep. Well, maybe her face kind of creeps me out a little bit, but
that's does she show her boobs like she did in The Gift?
She does not show her boobs like she did in The Gift.
That's because they're tattooed property of Tom Cruise.
Exactly. I was about to say, I don't think Xena would allow her to show her boobs anymore. Xena has confiscated all copies of The Gift, and she will never go naked again. But the movie's good. It's, I just, like I said, I'm trying to describe as much as I can without being too, spoilery on this, but.
Well, I think it's okay to, you know, to just say it's good. I mean, is it, cause here's the thing, people, it got an R rating just for being scary, right?
Sure. I remember reading that and thinking like, oh,
is that
shit.
Bullshit or what?
No, it's not to me at least. No, I mean, okay. I'm pretty squeamish when it comes to horror movies. So it, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get me a little scared, but this movie, I think this is more of a more cerebral horror than it is a kind of like hack and slash and visceral type of Saw horror. And I appreciate, you know, movies that get in your head and spook you as opposed to just showing you body parts flying and blood gushing everywhere.
Have you seen the original?
I have. And
what do you think? How did they compare? I mean, the original's a cheesy 70s movie.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's hard for me to see it as anything other than that. It's part of its time. You know, it is what it is. But I prefer this newer version, despite its flaws. I'm trying to see, is it, again, not. I'm trying to not give the very standard, like, I liked it and that's it kind of answer. I'm trying to be a little bit more detailed. But in doing so, I know that I'll probably give away a lot of.
Well, then don't spoil it. I mean, it's better to just get the impression. Especially for a movie like this, there are certain films that, like they did that study, that which is a bullshit study, but there's that study that everyone quoted. They're like, oh, spoilers really don't bother people.
I read that. That's right. Yeah,
which is absolute bullshit. Because first of all, it's stories.
Yes.
it's done for short stories. Second of all, they're like stories like an occurrence on Owl Creek Bridge. As opposed to, you know, something where you're just like, I have to read this for school. You know what I mean? And maybe you can understand it better. Now, if you give it to some typical 15-year-old kid who just wants to skim it, it's going to be better to know the ending. You know what I mean? There's so many factors as opposed to saying, tell somebody the ending of The Sixth Sense in 1999. And people would get really pissed off. Because spoilers bother the hell out of me.
Sure. And even sometimes knowing that there's a spoiler in a film or a story is a spoiler itself.
Or a twist. Yeah, saying there's a twist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're on the lookout for that twist, and you know, if you're anything like me, if I know that there's a spoiler in something that I've, you know, from frame one, I'm always looking out for it, or looking for clues at least, saying like, well, could this be it? Oh, well, this happens, so this must mean that this other thing might happen, you know, toward the end of the movie, and it just, you know, takes the fun out of watching the actual movie.
Well, it's like when I saw X-Men First Class, and There were suddenly, it was a whole thing about, oh, they're spoiling the cameos. And I'm like, and then and I saw the movie, because I wouldn't read anything, because any spoiler I avoid. Mm-hmm. But as I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, is that the cameo? Because when Kevin Bacon first shows up, I'm like, he's the villain. Okay. And then we get the cameo, and you're just like, okay. And I'm like, well, but wait, was that it? I kind of expected him to be in it. But is there somebody else at the end? Is like Andy Dick going to come out and be like, hey, I'm the bad guy, you know, or something like that? And,
well, with the X-Men, with First Class, that was one of the few times where I knew the spoiler going in, but I was so wrapped up in the movie anyway that when the spoiler hit, I had completely forgotten that there was a spoiler in the first place.
Ah, yeah. So, but I mean, you'd recommend, see, because the original TV movie, it's so cheesy. It was like 1974, and I recently got it from the Warner Archive Collection has it, and I think they're going to actually re-release it with a commentary and maybe give it a better treatment than just that standard, just slap it on a disc and send it out, that Warner Archive usually does.
Right.
Not that I don't love Warner Archive. I just, it's about the, it just puts it on disc and that's it. So it just makes it available. But Over the course of the couple of years, I've watched a bunch of these Warner Archive TV movies that have squeaked out, and they're usually really awful. you're like, oh, this was a made-for-TV movie in the 1970s, and it shows. But the original actually was pretty doggone suspenseful and well done for as crappy as it looked, you know. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see it.
Yeah, it's good. I'd be curious to hear what you think, but it's, like I said, it's very suspenseful. Okay. Up until those last 15, 20 minutes where, yeah. I mean, this isn't a spoiler at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider this a spoiler, but it falls into the horror movie cliche of smart people doing very stupid things.
Well, that happens in every horror movie. People always have to go upstairs, and they have to always split up. They have to always drop the weapon right next to the bad guy. You know, like Halloween wouldn't be Halloween if she didn't drop that knife like 7 times.
Exactly, but it took me out of this movie completely because up until that point, I was completely engaged. I mean, with a lot of horror movies, I honestly don't care what happens to who, and it's just, like I said, it's just basically body parts flying around and people getting killed off, and whatever, it serves a purpose, I guess. But because of this movie, I was enjoying it so much, and on, with it on a very realistic level, that when stupid things started to happen, it just became, you know, I understand it serves a purpose, and the movie would, there wouldn't be a movie if smart people actually did smart things, you know, if they actually left the house when they're supposed to leave the house.
The movie would be like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, basically.
Like, there's something haunting the, okay, we're leaving. Boom, and they're done. There was another movie I saw very recently, and I forget what it was, but I remember thinking, oh my God, they're so stupid. Well, it's like Planet of the Apes, if you saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I loved. But and I even characterize this, I said I love movies that are just about people just making a string of bad decisions.
Yep.
Just like Splice. I loved Splice, one of my favorite movies from last year. Huh. And if they would have just like not done the experiment, that would have been smart. But you would have had no movie.
Or if Adrian Brody hadn't fucked the alien.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene. Is my favorite the "I'm sorry I had sex with our alien offspring" science experiment.
Oh, so it's not the sex scene. It's the admission of the sex scene.
Because the sex scene, you're just like, really, seriously? But she is kind of cute. I mean, she's kind of hot, even in the alien sort of sense.
For a winged creature with funky eyes and, you know.
And a poisonous tail? Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I'd risk it. But just the sheep is, the way he's like, I'm sorry. I had sex with our alien experiment. Just such a ludicrous concept. I mean, there's certain things where you're just like, I'm sorry I ran over the cat. Or I'm sorry I had sex with your sister. You never think you'd have to utter those words of, I'm sorry I fucked our experiment. Not up, just fucked the experiment. So you're saying it's a good, so check it out. I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm looking forward to it. Let's move on to box office. And, well, let's say, it was not a good weekend for the box office, was it?
No.
The Help came back. What's interesting. This is what makes The Help interesting. Is it's one of those relatively rare movies.
Very rare movies.
Yeah. Hits number one on its second weekend.
Yep.
It happens. That happens now and then. But it's not a very common occurrence. Usually something else will open. But just nothing opened to make it. And nothing opened more than $12 million last weekend, which is terrible, even for August. That's terrible. And Spy Kids was like $11 million and $11.5 million, and then you had Conan with just about 10, and Fright Night with less than 8. I mean, Fright Night was overestimated. I heard like in the 8s for the weekend, and it's like 7.7 for the weekend. And then one day
people were expecting Conan to take the weekend, and When I saw the early Friday numbers and noticing that there was like a big lump of movies that just, you know, were getting beat out, all of them, by The Help, it's like, wow, it's exactly what you said. A movie starts out in second place first weekend and slowly builds an audience over the next couple of days to not just make more money, but to overtake the following weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what was really interesting to watch is the spin control that came out of it, because, you know, I feel sorry for Jason Momoa because everyone's like blaming him for Conan, and I'm like, blaming him for Conan is like blaming Kevin Kline for Wild Wild West bombing.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I like, personally, I like Jason Momoa, and I thought he made a good Conan.
Mm.
But I didn't think the movie, I don't care who you had in that movie, it wasn't going to do well. It's not.
Yep.
It's, first of all, it's, the original was the, it's, it was such an 80s movie, and those were big movies back then. You know, it was, you always had these sword and sandal movies from the 80s, you know, like the Beastmaster and stuff like that. But none of them ever really did well. I think Conan, what, like made 30 some million through its entire run worldwide or something like that. It was not a huge moneymaker in 1982.
The first one, right?
No, yeah, it wasn't. The second one, I don't think made much. I mean, we could look that up, but mm-hmm. it was, these were not, these were, and this kind of film, it's not the kind of movie that everybody goes for. You know, maybe if it came out like 3-4 years ago, right after 300, where you could do that. But in general, I don't care who you cast in it. You could have had Schwarzenegger in the movie again, and it wouldn't have done that well.
Maybe it would have done a little better. This, I guess if you had done that, this would have been his comeback flick.
People would have been interested in it. Plus, I think, of course, the 3D prices, I think, hurt it.
Yep.
As I've been saying all this year, is that there's movies that are, they're making, and again, people aren't running away from 3D, they're running away from the prices. And I think it was proved with all the 3D movies. I mean, that's the same thing with Fright Night. I think there's a lot of people that are going to see Fright Night. I think Fright Night will do better on video because people watch it at home and on Halloween, and they better get that thing out on video in like 2 months.
Yeah, by Halloween. If they did that, they'd have a better chance of making their money back releasing the DVD right before Halloween. You're right.
Yeah. The actual numbers is Conan the Barbarian, the original, had $39 million domestically, which was pretty decent, but it still wasn't. No. I mean, this is the same summer as E.T. that came out. And then Conan the Destroyer did about the same, a little bit less. But, you know, Conan the Barbarian, the movie, it'll make more than $30 million, I think, in the long run. But I just don't, I mean, this was a movie that I don't think they would, that people are going to see. You know, in this day and age, because the thing is, fantasy has taken such a step up. If you look at the fantasy movies of the 80s, like even like Crawl, you know, stuff like that, that's what you had. You had Dragon Slayer, and they made these movies, and they never did very well. But then in the late 90s and into the 2000s, you had Harry Potter, and you had The Lord of the Rings. So suddenly, fantasy movies transcended just the standard sword and sandal films. Sorcery films, and that's, I think, part of what's going on. Although I was impressed by the fact that Rose McGowan just had to shave half her head to look like a freak.
Just half.
I mean, that's it. I mean, the rest, I think she could have like back charged her 5 years of plastic surgery to the film's budget, and had been justified in that process. Did you see Conan?
I did. I hated it too.
You hated it? I didn't hate it. I actually liked it, but
I didn't like it at all. Who was the other girl in that? It was Rose McGowan. And That's right.
The other thing with what the hell was up with Rose McGowan's like Judy Garland impression?
I was going to say, what's up with Rose McGowan, period? I mean, that entire performance is terrible.
She is, yeah, she's awful. But I mean, she comes out, she's like walking like stiffly in the beginning, and then she like just abandons that after a while. So I don't know. It's just, it's one of those, because I saw like somebody, it was, I think, Nikki Fink, who's a complete blithering idiot anyways,
yeah.
Said on her site, she's like, oh, well, they talked about if they had like a WWE wrestler to be like The Rock. And I'm like, you could have made The Rock in that movie and it wouldn't have done well. It's just, I don't think today's audience cared about Conan. So.
And you said that everyone's blamed Jason Momoa for the flick, even though it's not technically his fault.
I don't think it's his fault. I mean, you know, yeah, if you would have put The Rock in there, it would have brought a bigger fan base to a degree. But, I mean, Jason Momoa is an unknown actor. But they're talking about taking a WWE person. I'm like, oh, really? Like what, John Cena? Who did stuff like 12 rounds?
Right.
Or were you going to bring in, is it Kane? Didn't he do, like, See No Evil that made $6 in the theater?
Yeah, boy, you could bring in Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, because he doesn't make movies that anybody sees. I mean, he was in The Expendables, but nobody cared that he was in it.
Yeah.
And he did that movie, The Condemned, which I know the director is a nice guy, but mm-hmm. sadly that movie didn't do very well either. Nope. So, I don't know. And then it's Fright Night. I was actually surprised at how poorly Fright Night did.
Me too. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to break any records, but I was expecting it to do better than what it actually did.
Yeah, it made less than $8 million.
Jeez.
Which, to put in perspective, I think the Help may have made more on Friday than Fright Night did all weekend.
Even with the 3D bump in prices too.
And again, I think that's what, because Fright Night was not necessary to make Fright Night in 3D. And, you know, even though I love 3D and I'll see I'd love to see any movie in 3D, but I just don't think it's going to.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's so bad. I mean, I actually like the 3D in Fright Night. I'm not a big fan of 3D as a whole, but Fright Night has a gimmicky 3D where stuff is flying at the screen. And
well, so did Conan, didn't it? I didn't see Conan in 3D.
I think I just don't remember. Maybe it did. Maybe I just tuned out.
Here's an interesting bit of trivia. The original Fright Night,
yes,
only made $1.5 million less on its opening weekend 25 years ago than Fright Night the remake did. I mean, Fright Night the remake is going to struggle to make the money that Fright Night the original made, which is $25 million. So, sad to say.
So then, what do you think the problem is with Fright Night? Is it just a bad release date? Is it Colin Farrell's not a movie star, or is it just too many movies getting released and all of them just kind of like screwing each other up?
I think you have a couple things. I think first of all, the 3D presentation, the push to put it in 3D, carved a lot of people from going to see, because the people who are going to go see this movie are teenagers and college students who don't have enough money, and they're going to be like, it's enough for them to actually go spend the money to go see it. To then ask them to pay a premium, they'll be like, screw it, I'm just going to BitTorrent it. Because you're aiming for that crowd, that audience, yep, that will do nothing but download free movies. Second of all, I think they kind of alienated the fan base. The people who love the original, I don't think it charmed that fan base as much. I personally didn't like it. I didn't think it was... I didn't like the way they did it. And then... third of all, I don't think there was any actor, and it's not. I'm not blaming Colin Farrell. I mean, you can blame Anton Yelchin just as much, I think, or David Tennant. There was nobody in there who commands an audience.
Well, good point. And neither of those actors were the ones selling the movie. So yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if they would have just had somebody who was at least recognizable, even if you just pulled him from the CW or something like that. But you know, and then the fact they didn't have any tits in it, I would have loved to have seen Imogene's poops.
Imogene's poots.
And Imogene's poots.
All right.
And I think also the fact that they released it in August. It's a horror movie in August. Horror movies tend not to do well in the summer, even though they keep releasing them. Mm-hmm. And they'll sit there and people will point out the Rob Zombie Halloween abortion, and I'll be like, that's fine, that did well. But that also came with the Halloween name. Because Fright Night's not a known franchise.
Right.
It's not like Freddy Krueger or something like that. You know, so for all intents and purposes, the people this is marketed to, which is the teenagers and early 20s crowd, weren't even alive when the first one came out, so they're not even aware of it. So I think there's a lot of stuff that was going wrong. If it would have come out in October, I think it might have done better. Or if it would have come out like in January, when that's the only option. Mm-hmm. So I think that has more to do with it. I think of all things, Disney Touchstone and DreamWorks didn't give people a reason to see the movie, I guess. What do you think?
I think they should have shown Imogene's boots.
I think they should have too. I would definitely. I go see a movie if that's what it was called. We will show Imogene's boots because she's a good looking woman.
Yeah, I'd be like, one ticket sold.
I'm double checking to make sure she's old enough so we don't get arrested.
We're checking for you. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you didn't say anything. You're just agreeing with me at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure she's of age. She was in 28 Weeks Later.
That's right.
Yeah, she's like 22.
Oh, so. Well.
She was born 3 years after the movie. The 4 years after the original movie came out.
Just she's older than you. Got that other crush, Autumn Reeser, that you like a lot.
I love Autumn Reeser.
Yeah, I remember. I
well, she's what? She like 18 or something?
I have no idea how old she is, but I know you're a fan.
Oh yeah, and that's she's the only reason to see that the sequel to what was it? What was that? The Smoking Aces 2? She was in that sequel.
Oh, was she?
Totally okay. Hot. Oh, no. Come on. Autumn Reese was like 31. Bust out the perv on that one.
Yeah. So she only looks young.
I guess that's okay. I was going to say, I would have been like, well, that's even better. No, that just sounds really gross.
Yeah, don't call me to bail you out of jail, please.
I mean, I'm not here going like, oh, Selena Gomez. Although I did because she's like 19. This is why I remember that, is she just turned 18 like the day or the day before Ramona and Beezus came out.
Oh, shit.
And I went to go see, I actually took my son to the midnight movie because I had to cover it and I had to review it. Mm-hmm. And we found like one theater in town that was showing it at midnight. It's because I'm just like, who's going to see this movie at midnight? And so I took, my son and I were there and I tweeted out, I said, because it was right after Twilight Eclipse came out and everyone was like, oh, and I actually had a friend who was like, she's my age. So she's like pushing 40. And she's like, oh, Taylor Lautner. And I'm like, he's 17 when he made this movie. So I know there's that whole, and Fozzie Bear even sent me this chart of the age of consent. And I'm like, that's fine. But it's still, and she has, and it was funny as this woman I know, she has like a 15-year-old kid. So I'm like, he's as old as your son. And this is kind of creepy. And she just wouldn't get the fact that it was creepy. And then so I tweeted out, I said, so by Twilight standards, I should be able to hoot and holler when Selena Gomez, because she is now 18. Even though she was 17 when she filmed this, she's now 18. It's not creepy at all.
Okay.
And then I was arrested. So. All right. Shall we move on? Who do you think's going to win this weekend?
Again, don't be afraid of the dark, maybe, but it could be The Help again because the competition doesn't look so hot.
Yeah, it could, because I don't think Columbiana, I don't think that's going to do that well.
No.
Because I don't think Zoe Saldana is enough to carry a movie at this point. Well, nobody's going to see it for her.
The movie's not being sold strictly on her name. It's got, the action going for it, I guess, but... It doesn't have a big enough push to get a big enough audience to go see it.
It doesn't have Liam Neeson in it. If it had Liam Neeson in it, I think you could. I mean, right. Because that's what they do with Taken. If they would have said Columbiana, we show her tits is the subtitle, you might get more people seeing it.
Ma'am, yeah, you get a few guys to go see it. Or just to download the pictures the day after the movie comes out.
I don't think Aria Brothers is going to do well at all.
No.
I just don't don't get the sense that anybody cares to go see it.
Yeah, I like the movie. It's a good movie, but I don't see it doing very well.
Yeah, and don't Be Afraid of the Dark, I think, has a shot. It's got enough notice, and the Guillermo del Toro name behind it as a producer is at least giving it some awareness. Of course, I don't know if John Q. Public is going to care about Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, but some do. I was at my screening last week. I was talking to a couple people before the screening, and even friends that I was trying to get to come with me to the screening. I was surprised by how many actually thought that Guillermo directed the movie.
Yeah.
Because his name's out there. I mean, it makes
sense.
If you
listen to the stories, he did.
That too. But according to the credits, people, it's like Guillermo del Toro presented. It's the same thing that that people seem to think about Nightmare Before Christmas. Outside of like film geeks, most people seem to think that Tim Burton directed Nightmare Before Christmas, and of course he didn't. But then again,
well, actually he kind of did, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was about to say, based on like rumors or behind the scenes stuff, he easily could have. But it's funny how people just assume. It's all about brands, and you attach a Guillermo to a film, or you attach.
Went farther with Nightmare Before Christmas because it says on the poster Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
It doesn't say Harry Selleck's.
Yeah, and even selling Henry it, Selleck. Even while getting back Henry to Don't Selleck, Be Afraid of the Dark, me. To sell a horror movie with the Guillermo name, it does bring a little bit more awareness to the film itself. But I still don't think it's enough to get that big of an audience to not even just win the weekend, but to make a decent opening.
I think it might. I mean, I think if you look at just the sort of the trends, the Help, even if it just drops $5-6 million, it's still going to be in like the 14 million range. So I think that Don't Be Afraid of the Dark has a chance to beat it, but it's still going to be a horse race.
Yeah.
So,
and it's basically between that and The Help.
It'll be Don't Be Afraid of the Help.
I am.
Yes. Okay, so let's do our Fat Guy Five here real quick. We have, in honor of our idiot brother, not our idiot. We don't have an idiot brother because we're not related. But
I wish I had one. I'd push him around.
But it'd be awesome. Yeah, you can make him do things for you. we have five fantastic movie idiots. And I'm going to start it off with Stan Laurel from the classic Laurel and Hardy sketch comedy, which is sketch comedy. I mean, it's more vaudeville than anything else. But, of course, I love Laurel and Hardy. Even their silent stuff's a scream. If you've ever watched any of their silent stuff, it's really good. But, of course, the music box and all that, and their Flying Deuces and all that kind of the movies that they've done. I loved Laurel and Hardy growing up, and they're still great now. And what's funny is Stan Laurel was actually the genius behind it. He was the brains behind the group. For real. So, here, I'll do the next one because this one, I think this was mine. I'm going to say Buddy the Elf from Elf.
Right.
Because I don't know if you'd call him an idiot, but he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He takes a long time to realize he's like the size of eight of them.
So he's not stupid, but he kind of is.
Kind of an idiot. But he's adorable. And that's, I guess, what it is. If you're an idiot and you're annoying, nobody's going to like you. But if you're an idiot and adorable, more power to you.
Yeah, he has his heart in the right place.
That's right. So you got the next one. This is a stretch, but go ahead.
this one is a stretch. Oh, yeah. We were figuring out before we started recording, you know, who should we put on here? And I figured we could go for the easy ones. Not easy ones, but, you know, the ones that would normally come to mind. And,
but what classifies as an idiot?
You know, what would normally classify as an idiot? And I figured, well, you know, I'll take the smart-ass approach, and I'll think of someone who is an idiot, but in an unconventional choice. A film that is very straightforward and very dark, but he's an idiot. He's an asshole, and he does very assholish things. My choice is Billy Bob Thornton in Monsters Ball.
Ah.
A very dark, dark film.
What about Monsters Other Ball?
if you've seen the movie, there's a lot to talk about. But Billy Bob Thornton.
I've actually never seen it, so spoil it for me. I know he bangs Halle Berry. I know that he goes past his own racial prejudices to put his penis inside Halle Berry.
That's essentially the build up of the movie. The first, you know, maybe third of that flick is him unabashedly being a dick, a racist, basically getting his spoilers from Monsters Ball, essentially driving his son to suicide.
Oh.
And even as we're seeing the film, you know, kind of unravel this character and bring him to a redemptive state, he still is a bit of an asshole. You know, he can't change that side of himself that just will not let go of all the hatred and bitterness he has toward life. So, you know, we've been talking about lovable.
You know, I think I could be a little bit racist if I could cure myself by having sex with Halle Berry. Do you think you could work that out for me?
Well, I don't know. I could try my best. Be like Harry. I just called her Harry. Halle.
Harry Berry.
Harry Halle. Harry Halle, I have a friend who'd like to be extremely racist to your face, but he still wants to sleep with you. Is that cool? What?
She'll be like, okay, if it's for charity.
Yeah, you pay her enough. If you Joel Silver it up.
Isn't it like $2 million per boob?
That's what I was about to say. If you Joel Silver it up and pay her like $500,000 to show her tits, then you might get a response. Because that's what she got for showing her tits in Swordfish, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like...
that paid off.
Jeez. You just give the money back. Pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's move on to the next one, and that is this is yours too. You came up with this one.
The next pick is a saner choice. It's going back to what we've been talking about and more realistic choices. And for me, it's Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Sorry if I'm sounding a little bit distracted. I'm looking up pictures of Autumn Reeser right now.
Oh shit!
Damn it. Steve Martin.
Normal pictures or naked pictures of Autumn Reeser?
Whatever I can find. I'm easy to please.
Okay, well, while you do that, I will inform our listeners that Steve Martin and The Jerk is one of the classic examples of an idiot with his heart in the right place for me.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's he has a lot of the traits of Buddy the Elf, where he is unaware of his surroundings, and instead of freaking out when the realization finally hits him, he's more endearing to his surroundings and to the audience because he accepts what's going on around him, and he just kind of goes with it. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't go crazy or insane, but he, without sounding too mushy, he just opens his heart, and that leads the film on a very different path, I guess, than what we'd be used to.
That's true.
Right. You're still looking at naked pictures, aren't you?
I am looking at pictures of Autumn Reeser.
Okay. I was various, like, he's not saying much. He's probably looking at pictures again.
I'm agreeing with you, yes.
Okay.
But yes, no, I love The Jerk. And I love the fact, my favorite part, actually my favorite scene in The Jerk is when the guy starts shooting at him. And he thinks he's shooting at cans.
Right.
He's like, cans! There are cans here! That's my favorite part of the movie. So, but it is a great film. It is a great film. The last one, this is mine. This is an honor to a film that came out not too long ago, Winnie the Pooh. Mm. Because he is, as they fully admit in the show or in the series, he is a bear of very little brain.
Yes.
Winnie the Pooh is a stupid, stupid, stupid bear. His head is full of fluff.
Yes.
You know, in defense, he is a stupid, stupid bear, but he is adorable. So I got to give some love for Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. All he wants is honey.
That's right. Well, yeah. And his honey's named Halle Berry.
Or Autumn Reeser.
Autumn, or both of them. He'd be like, oh, bother.
Yeah, seriously. It's like if he had his chance for infinite honey or three-way with Halle and Autumn, I don't know which one he'd choose. He'd probably go for the honey.
He'd totally go for the honey because I don't think he has a penis. Because he runs around without pants on.
That's right.
You know, if you are running around without pants on, and you at all can stand up upright and speak, you usually don't have a penis. Because, I mean, look, Kermit the Frog.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Duck. Of course, it might be covered by the feathers.
Yep.
Porky Pig. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on down there. He has a waistcoat, but he does not have anything to cover his junk. Ergo, he has no junk.
Then again, you have Mickey Mouse, who does wear pants but doesn't wear a shirt.
Well, that's just because he's white trash. He was born in a trailer park. He drove a steamboat early in his career. What do you expect?
Oh, poor dude.
A couple honorable mentions. We came up with these names, but we didn't want to be offensive, so we thought we'd throw them the honorable mentions. We have Forrest Gump and Raymond Babbitt as two lovable or fantastic movie idiots. But I guess that would that be considered be wrong? Well, you know what we forgot? We forgot Dumb and Dumber. Dumber.
Yeah, that's one. I mean, and Sam from I Am Sam is another one.
Yeah, well, yeah, we could just sit there and be like anyone with mental handicaps.
Totally.
Put on the list.
Anyone who's really weird and...
So, yeah, that's why we didn't want it to just be like, well, this guy who's mentally retarded, this person who's got autism, this person is this.
Yes.
We didn't want to get offensive, so we stuck with Buddy the Elf and Winnie the Pooh and No Pants.
Sure, and then my silly thing I just did. Please send all your letters to Neil Miller.
You send all letters. All hate mail to Neil Miller.
Totally.
Neil at Fat Guys or at filmschoolrejects.com. And send all your love letters to us.
There you go.
All right, well, we better go to a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about DVDs.
Awesome.
Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We just got out of our infamous middle segment, which we shared way too much throughout. We shared way too much on a lot of things. So
yes,
if you are listening on the radio and you were at all offended by some of the language that Marco used in the second segment,
Marco
you do
used.
Not. Well, yeah, you used it in the second segment.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah. Three times. I would advise you not to go to the Fat Guys in the Movies and check out the middle segment. But if you do like that sort of trash talk, give us a check out. Next thing we got coming up. What's coming up next here, Marco?
We have got the world famous DVD Roundup.
That's right. I'll let you go first.
All right.
Because you're the guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I've got a couple picks for my DVD.
What have you been looking at this week for the DVDs.
This isn't going to get any cleaner.
What has been catching your eye? What have you been staring at?
What have I been watching this week? I've been watching The Beaver.
Who's
Beaver? Jennifer Lawrence's Beaver.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster's Beaver.
She directed it.
Okay. Yes, Jodie Foster's Beaver, which is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. We're recording this on a Monday, so tomorrow, Tuesday, the 20-something, rather. I forgot.
It's between 0 and 9.
Exactly. I was going to sound informative and be like the 25th or the 20 whatever it is. And
but this will be airing on Friday, so it came out this last week on the 23rd.
Okay, so it's available on DVD and Blu-ray now. I was watching it, revisiting again over the weekend, and I liked this film the first time I saw it. I still do.
So much the second time?
No. I still do. I'm still a fan. It's okay. I just You're wish more people had seen it the first time. But since that wasn't the case, and I'm here to spread the word and hopefully get a few more eyeballs to this flick, it's obviously Mel Gibson's return to, well, I was going to say return to form, but that sounds so damn cheesy.
Well, he returned, I mean, he came back and he did Edge of Darkness a couple years ago.
That's right, but that, I mean, it's like that film kind of came and went with a whimper too, so no one really saw that.
The Beaver just whimpered his way out of the gate as well. I don't even know if it got released in my town, and I live in Columbus, which
Edge of Darkness, but this had a bigger publicity push built around Mel than Edge of Darkness did, right?
No. Edge of Darkness was his return to acting. Edge of Darkness was a big thing because they're like, he's returning to acting, he's the cop, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, I wasn't a fan. Maybe I'll just write it off as me being uninterested and forgetful.
No. Okay. But you're saying to check out Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Yes, I'm saying check out Jodie Foster's directorial effort, The Beaver. Not Jodie Foster's Beaver, because we don't want to get anyone arrested. But okay. Definitely check out The Beaver if you have access to it through DVD or Blu-ray. Preferably Blu-ray. I got the Blu-ray here at the house, and the transfer is pretty awesome. It's got a few special features. Nothing too earth-shattering, but the film itself is definitely worth a look.
Okay. And what else do you got?
I've got, again, another title that's coming up next week on the 30th, Tuesday the 30th. It's a big Blu-ray box set of older film Coen Brothers movies. It's
like
got
Blood Simple and Miller's Crossing.
Yeah, it's like
a
4-disc set. It's got Blood Simple, Miller's Crossing, Raising Arizona, and then Fargo. Fargo is a reissue. It's the exact same Blu-ray that's available now.
Just came out with that like a year or two ago.
Right. And then the other three are just like new to the set. So if you already have Fargo, you could just get the other three separately. Awesome. Miller's Crossing is my favorite Coen Brothers film. So I'm excited just to see that. But the transfers on the other films are also really good. Again, not too much on the special feature side, but if you've never seen these movies, I'd say Blu-ray is probably the best way to go, especially because the transfer is so good. And if you've seen them, then you know exactly how badass these movies are.
Okay. The ones I'm gonna highlight, of course, you got Troll Hunter that came out this week.
Yep.
Fantastic Norwegian film about people hunting trolls, and it's one of those shot mockumentary type things where it's a fake documentary, Blair Witch with trolls in Norway. So definitely worth checking out. They're remaking it, but I suggest people check out the original. There's also Bambi 2 on Blu-ray, which actually, when it comes to Disney direct-to-DVD and direct-to-home-video sequels, Bambi 2 is not bad.
Mm.
So I do suggest, if you got kids, check that one out. There's Brothers and Sisters Season 4 on television, which I actually, despite the fact it's not my kind of show, I loved Brothers and Sisters. It's sad to see it go, but it's unfortunately it didn't stick around too long to jump the shark because it was getting ready to. I think it would have probably jumped the shark in the fifth season. There's also another Disney movie TV bit is Phineas and Ferb, the movie Across the Second Dimension. If you haven't seen Phineas and Ferb, I don't care how old you are, check it out. It is a funny, funny show. It's a great cartoon, very irreverent, very well made, very, very cute. Have you ever watched Phineas and Ferb?
Nope.
Oh, it's worth because it's one of these things my wife and I were watching with our kids, and we're like, and every now and then they're, you know, constantly through the movie, there's like making jokes, and I look at my wife and we're like, yeah, they're not gonna get that joke. That's what makes it awesome. It's because it has references and jokes in there that the parents will like. It's a very cute show. And then Ernest, the Ernest collection on Blu-ray. You've got the first three Ernest films. I think it was the first three. It's Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Jail, and Ernest Scared Stupid on Blu-ray. Check it out. How did this escape me? I just found out about it like a couple days ago, but oh man, definitely worth checking out.
Did you already check out the Blu-rays?
I haven't checked out the Blu-rays. I love the movies, but I definitely want to pick up the Blu-rays at some point. And then there's also The Stinkers Off the Map, the complete series, which ran very shortly on ABC. It's Grey's Anatomy in the woods, in the jungle. So let's do the review wrap-up. Columbiana, we didn't see. It's a preemptive suck. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Marco saw and he gave it a rocks, right?
Yes.
And our idiot brother Marco also saw and gave it a kind of rocks. Next week, we'll be probably not seeing Apollo 13. We'll be seeing The Debt, and we may or may not see Shark Knight 3D. Don't count on that. And until then, Marco, where can you find you on Twitter or something like that real quick?
You can find me on Twitter under Big Dumb Mail and Facebook under Marco Cerritos. I guess you can always Google past recordings. I must be zoning out. Past articles and interviews under my name, and that's about it.
All right. Well, we got to go because we are out of time. Talk to you guys next week.